Starting hour number two, what's going on? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome, live from the Quicken Loans studios in Southern California. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. All right, so we're open right now. 1-800-636-8686. We spent the entire first hour talking about the NCAA tournament, Selection Sunday, the brackets. We had John Rothstein on, who helped break it down. We had Scott Nagy, the head coach of Wright State. Coming up in about 35 minutes, I've got the head coach at UNC Greensboro, Wes Miller. But that's 40 past. Between now and then, we've got plenty of time. You should take advantage of the opportunity. What do you want to talk about? Hit me up right now. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Go to my Facebook page. Go to my Instagram page. We're everywhere. By now, you should know how this works. I'm looking for the best contributions. All right, let me change up. Let me hit you with some other topics, other things to talk about in addition to college basketball. Maybe, for instance, this guy.
I was close.
He was close.
I was close.
Do you know that voice?
I was close.
Does he sound familiar to you?
I was close.
When was the last time that guy said that and it was true?
I was close.
He's been saying it for years. None of us bought it.
I was close.
This time, though, this guy was close.
I was close.
The words of one Eldrick Woods.
I was close.
That was after the final round yesterday, and for the first time in a long time, he was right.
I was close.
For years, we've heard this guy say this.
I was close.
I was close. I was close. I was close.
I was close.
For years, I was close. When pretty much everybody in the world, not named Hawk and Keith Arnold, knew that he wasn't close.
I was close.
I wasn't close.
I was close.
Wasn't.
I was close.
Wasn't.
I was close.
Wasn't. 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 Wasn't.
I was close.
Except yesterday, he was. At the Valspar Championship Sunday, 72nd hole of that tournament, he was close.
I was close.
2.5 feet short of forcing a playoff with Paul Casey. That close.
I was close.
To closing out a win on a Sunday. That close.
I was close.
To having a nation of Tiger honks losing their collective bleep and crying out tears of grown man joy on their couches. And you know that crew was already going waterworks after Woods dropped a 44-footer on 17 to give himself a shot at tying Casey on 18.
43 feet down the hill, putting from the center of this par 3 green to this front left hole location. Could even go back to the right. Tiger gets it down that slope, holding the finish just on a pretty good line up to the hole and drops.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? A bomb for Tiger Woods. We haven't seen that in a while. Tiger Woods, a birdie here at 17. He's 9 under and currently 1 back.
And that, of course, is courtesy of PGA Tour Radio, which broadcasts on Sirius XM and streams free on PGA Tour digital platforms. Hadn't seen that in quite some time. But no, I'm not going to say that the old Tiger would have rolled in that 40-footer to force the playoff and then rip Casey's heart out in the playoff, even though he would have. Nor am I going to say that the old Tiger wouldn't have squandered the number of birdie chances that he left out there yesterday. The reason I'm not going to say that is because this is not old Tiger Woods. This is Eldrick Woods. He's a different guy and a different golfer, and for a long time, Eldrick Woods has been more of a shell than a golfer, but lately, Eldrick has played pretty well. And the last 4 days, Eldrick played really well. Really, really well. Now, his iron play was not where he'd like it yesterday, but he still carded his sixth straight round under par and had his best finish in 3 years. More than anything else, though, he was relevant. He actually mattered. For the first time in a long time, that red shirt on a Sunday didn't seem like a joke or a sad reminder of what used to be. This time, it actually sort of meant something. But as always, what do you say you save the Tiger is back talk after a second place finish at the Valspar Championship? Tiger's not back. He's not back. He's never coming back. That's not going to happen. The guy we're seeing right now is a good golfer. The guy we're seeing right now may even prove to be a very good golfer. He might even contend at Augusta. Hell, He might even win at Augusta or one of the other majors, something that seemed impossible not that long ago. But he's not Tiger. Tiger is the guy who could put all four majors on his coffee table at the same time. Tiger would have been pissed at finishing second at a tournament named after a paint company. Eldrick, on the other hand, seemed pretty pleased, pretty happy with himself. And you know what? He should be. Hell, he might even be the guy to beat at Arnie's Place. But let's not get this twisted. This guy ain't running down Jack. But it is definitely better than what I expected. Better than pretty much what anybody could have expected. At 42, with more surgeries than major wins in the last few years, and all of a sudden this guy can compete on a Sunday? I mean, it was not that long ago that this guy was breaking down on Thursdays, melting down on Fridays, and now all of a sudden he's dropping 40-footers on a Sunday to give himself a chance? I got to acknowledge that. The guy's swing looks good. So much better than that mess of a swing that infected his brain the last few years. It almost makes you wonder. Almost makes you think that he would have just been better off if he started coaching himself years ago. The fact that he's contending, the fact that he matters, is an accomplishment. It's something I never thought that I would see again. It's impressive. It's good for golf. But let's not make it bigger than what it is. Tiger is not back, because Tiger can't come back. So don't come in here and waste everybody's time with that. To say that he's back, and follow me on this, honks, because I know you so badly want to get on the phone and scream he is. Understand this. To say that he's back is to forget how great he was. And Tiger was incredible. Tiger won rounds before he even teed them up. He did the impossible regularly. But that mystique, that aura, it was all shattered with a 9-iron and when he went to sleep in the street years ago. This is different. It's not the same. It's definitely not better. But it's definitely a lot better than what I expected. So here's a nice golf clap for you, Eldrick. Keep it up. You've got my attention.
I was close.
You were close. A lot closer than I expected. A lot closer than I expected. And a lot closer sooner than I expected. So a nice golf clap for you. Just know this. One good tournament is not going to make me forget how busted up physically he's been. Or how bag-like he's been off the track. One good tournament is not going to make me forget that he wrecked a family, asked for separate checks at lunch with some Navy SEALs, and bounced his Benz around a back road in Jupiter last year. Or one good tournament is not going to make me forget that less than a year ago, cops were trying to wake Elgato up from a 3 a.m. nap. Speaking of which, is today National Nap Day? National Napping Day? Anyway, one good tournament's not going to make me forget that less than a year ago, they were trying to wake him up, pilled out of his mind with a pharmacy's worth of opiates in the middle of the night. One good prep tourney for the Masters is not going to make me forget any of that, much less all of that. Hell, five more green jackets would not make me forget that. But I got to give this guy his due. I really did not see him putting himself in this position, certainly not this soon, and maybe never ever again. So once again, Gatto, well done. Well done. Stay strong, stay down, and most of all, stay out of Perkins restaurants.
I was close.
You were close. And you deserve credit. Dear Rome, let me personally welcome you and thank you for your recent show of support for Tiger Woods. It has been a long journey for all involved. We've endured years of blood, sweat, and tears defending our cause. And now, here we are. Here the bleep
here
we are.
Here the we are.
He's back, and we are going to be back stronger and more addicted than ever. Yours truly, Tyler in Edmonton, president of Tiger Honk Incorporated. T-H-I. I don't know. You have to take that up with Hawk and Keith. I thought those guys were the president and president-elect, or CEO and COO of Tiger Honk Incorporated. Rome, I was close. I was close. To grabbing the bill. Yours, Tiger at lunch.
No, he wasn't.
Dude, he'll win the Masters before he reaches for a check. That is an all-timer. Yeah, we can go round and round and round about this guy's game, what this guy's all about. There's no disputing that. There's no two sides to that. There is not a second side. There's not two sides to if the Navy SEALs let you in and they spend their time and their money and their energy letting you in and training with you, you pick up the freaking tab. You pick up the check. You don't let any of those guys reach for that. There's no two sides to that. That's not, hey, yeah, Rome, I've heard your point of view, but here's mine. There's only one point of view. You pay for the SEALs that let you in. And apparently he didn't. There's cheap, and then there's just straight whack. Dear clones, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Should we pay college athletes? Who is on your Mount Rushmore of NBA players? Signed, the Jim Rome filibuster. Drew in West L.A., I see what you did there, Drew. You think that I'm going to talk about anything and everything just to get out of talking about Oge. You think that, well, one, you think I'm not prepared. You think that I don't have takes. You think that I'm not ready to talk about other things. So what do? I filibuster. And how do you filibuster? You go to one of those tried and true, lame radio topics. The one that will fill the phone lines on any given day. Any day, any year, any show, any station. You know, the... Hey, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Hey, should we pay college athletes? Bobby Knight used to be like that too, back in the day. Any Bob Knight topic. Or, who is on your Mount Rushmore of NBA players? Notice I really never do any of that. Drew, if I had a take on if I did it, you would know what it is. I don't need to filibuster to not talk about it or to keep you from talking about it. Dear Rome, I was close. Signed Chris Lardon's chair to breaking last night. Lee in Vancouver. There's nothing more Canadian than calling an American fat, is there, Lee? All right, so if you're scoring at home, what do we have? We have Chris Olive Darden. We have Chris Lardon. Ruth's Chris Darden. You've had your fun. That's three for you. Now you're done.
Now I'm done.
Dear Rome, who would have thought that the double murdering juice would be skating this morning thanks to a busted up 42-year-old Eldrick, Mike R. in Toronto? The thing is, Mike, he's not really skating. I just really don't give a damn. If I had a take, you would know what it was. If I had a take on if I did it. Hey, I saw it, all right? I almost gave you my take. I almost started in with a take. If I had a take, you would know what it is. Anybody out there want to take advantage of open phones? Anybody on any of our stations? Anybody listening on satellite? Anybody who can make a difference? Want to come in here and make this show better? Go right ahead. Take your shot. Just know that just because you get through does not mean you get on the air. I don't want you on, or you're not going to get on unless I really think in my heart of hearts you're going to make this thing better. If you can do that, you'll get your shot. I've got Wes Miller coming up. He's the head coach at UNC Greensboro. We talked about the brackets. I've not yet given you my Final Four. Too early for that. But that's all coming up, too. 1-800-636-8686. Can you imagine having a car?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
If you're used to the TV show and you're looking for it and you're listening right now, don't go all San Diego on CBS Sports Network. It's only one day. I will be back tomorrow. I roll in this morning and like Alvin's putting on his makeup, fixing his hair. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Dude, the simulcast. No. I said, Alvin, we're not on TV today. We got preempted. Oh, dude, no way. Drag. Oh, well, I'm just going to leave the makeup on anyway. Because what happens now is when I go around, I go to the gas station, people recognize me now, and I don't want to be out there without my makeup on. It's cool, Alvy. That's cool. You keep doing you. Tiger Woods, and I said this before, I want to be very clear about this. I'm impressed that he did what he did and he is where he is, but he's not back. Tiger Woods is not back. But you know who is? The Cleveland freaking Browns. The Browns are back. That's coming up in a minute. Wes Miller, UNC Greensboro Spartans head coach, coming up in about 15 minutes. Right now, let's try a telephone call. Remember, I said getting through and getting on hold does not guarantee that you'll get on the air. It just means that you got through the first barrier. You got through Hawk somehow. But it guarantees you nothing. Like this guy. I would imagine this guy understands that. Let's go to Brentwood. Very Tony community. You know Brentwood. Very upscale. Very wealthy. Unbelievable enclave. Here in Southern California. You never know what you might find in Brentwood. You never know what might happen in Brentwood. And there's only one way to find out. Let's go there right now. Slash in Brentwood. Slash, good morning. What's up?
Hey, Jim Rome. It's Slash from Brentwood. Thanks for the vine, brother.
You got Jim, it, Slash. What's
I know
up?
You don't have, Jim, I know you don't have a take, hypothetically speaking, on if I did it, but the only thing worse than watching Selection Sunday last night was hearing the Juice describe Chapter 6, also known as the night in question. I mean, seriously, Snags, between Greg Gumbel, Ernie Johnson, and Chuck absolutely murdering what is supposed to be one of the best nights of the year, and flipping over to see Orenthal talk about June 12, 1994, back-to-back, I blacked out. And, Jim, I don't black out often, but usually when I do, I wake up covered in Ron and Nicole's blood.
With my That's not a good call. No. Oh, I get like it now.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
I didn't understand it at first, but now I know what that guy did. Slash in Brentwood. Get it? Get it? I didn't know. I figured the guy's name was Slash. He was pretending to be OJ. Get it? Slash in Brentwood? Wow. I guess I wasn't paying attention. Wonder how that guy got through. Hey, let me tell you something, Slash. The one thing you don't want to do, all right? The one thing you don't want to do is call into my program and murder my colleague's broadcast of the Selection Show. What are you doing with that, Slash? You can't come up in here and take a run at my guy Greg Gumbel, my guy Ernie, my guy Chuck, and murder their coverage. Come on, Slash. Wake the hell up. Slash in Brentwood. Y'all get that? You see what that guy just tried to do? This is what I get for going to the phones. Tiger Woods is not back. The Cleveland Browns are back. Yes, I said it. The Cleveland Browns are back. They had themselves a hell of a weekend, didn't they? Now, normally when I say the Cleveland Browns had a hell of a weekend, that's generally followed by me running down some stats of a hideous loss where they had multiple quarterbacks get injured and then some embarrassing off-field incident. Except not this time. This time, they really did have themselves a weekend. They kicked things off on Friday by sending a couple of draft picks to Miami for Jarvis Landry. A huge move in and of itself. Remember, this is a team that only a few months back didn't even know how to execute a trade, didn't even know how to make a trade, a team that jacked up a deal for A.J. McCarron because they did not know what paperwork was involved. That same team is pulling the trigger on a deal for a guy who led the NFL in receptions last year. And then they follow that up less than an hour later by sending the 65th pick in this year's draft to Buffalo for Tyrod Taylor. And then they send DeShone Kizer to Green Bay for Demaryius Randle, along with a swap of fourth and fifth round picks. Then they send Danny Shelton in a 2018 fifth rounder for a 2019 third rounder. They get all this done, and they get it done in about a day and a half. If you're a Browns fan, you're screaming, oh my God, this is not happening. Oh my God, this is not happening. Again, a team that only a few months back did not even know how to make a trade, just traded for a starting quarterback, a star wide receiver, a starting corner, and they ditched a former first rounder, and they did all that in about 36 hours. Oh, my God, this is not happening. Hey, I can see where you feel that way. It's the most un-Brown thing that I could ever imagine. I mean, these moves are so well executed, you'd almost think that a professional organization was pulling this off. Think about that. These are the Cleveland Browns we're talking about. This is the same organization that could not complete a trade for a backup quarterback from the Bengals, and now they're adding a starting quarterback, a three-time Pro Bowl receiver, and a starting DB in a matter of hours. What a ridiculous run of trades. And even more ridiculous, I've got to say, I love everything about it. I love those moves. Love those moves. They had three players, and they still keep their picks in the first two rounds of this year's draft. It's exactly what you should do if you're 0-16 last year, 1-31 over the past 2 years. Start cutting deals with anybody and everyone. And again, they're not crappy deals either. They're good deals. They got better. I guarantee it. How can I guarantee it? Because they literally can't be any worse. And let me say this as I go to break. They actually look like they're a legitimate potential force offensively already. And yeah, I said it. The Cleveland Browns could be an offensive force. And that's something that has not been said this century, literally. But you can say it right now. An offensive force right now. I'll finish that thought. But first things first, I've got a conversation with Wes Miller, who is the head coach at UNC Greensboro. Even before that, I have a sports update for you. Here it is on a busy Monday morning, the very latest in the form of a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This segment's brought to you by Werner. Werner, the official ladder of NCAA March Madness. And March means it's ladder madness. Go to getwerner.com. Find the best Werner products for you. That's getwerner.com. We are efforting Wes Miller, the head basketball coach at UNCG. We are efforting him no more. I found him. He is the head basketball coach at UNCG in his seventh season with the Spartans. He was named the SoCon Coach of the Year for the second time this season. They were the regular season and conference tournament champions. UNCG goes to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2001, so you know they're hyped. They go up against Gonzaga on Thursday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern tip. Wes Miller is my guest. Wes, great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Wes, it is great to have you on. I was looking forward to it because this is the first time that UNCG has been to the tournament, as I mentioned, Wes, since 2001. Most of your players were toddlers back then. So what's it mean to lead this program back to the tournament for the first time in such a long time?
Yeah, you mentioned it, 17 years, and we've been here seven as a staff. It's taken a lot longer than we would have liked, but it means the world, Jim. I mean, we've had great support, you know, the last 7 years here, but to see the way it's grown in the last two, and then really specifically in the last 7 days since we got that automatic berth to the tournament, it's just been really neat, man. It feels like the whole community on campus, the whole city of Greensboro, even just people in the state of North Carolina really wrapped their arms around us. So it's been a great feeling.
Yeah, that's the best. That is so exciting for a program that hasn't had it in so long, and for the students and the fans of the program to get a chance to do something like this is great. And then what's your reward? Of course, Wes, your reward is you get to go up against Mark Few and Gonzaga. What was your reaction when you saw your name matched up with their name?
Yeah, well, you mentioned that reward, Gonzaga. They're pretty good. No, we won the conference final 7 days ago. And so, you know, we've been kind of sitting there waiting for a week. And I think we were just really excited to find out who went and where, you know. And so the initial reaction, we were just excited to know where we were going, know who we were playing. And the guys were kind of overcome with emotion. you know, deep down, I think they all wanted to go to San Diego because they thought we'd be like on the beach or something.
Right.
And so I don't know if they understood, you know, how needed it is to go to Boise because it'll be, you know, great fans and it'll be a great atmosphere there. But no, they were just excited to figure out where they're going. What we found out, Jim, in the last 12 or 14 hours is our staff, you know, kind of dove into Gonzaga. We knew we'd play somebody great, and we know Gonzaga's a great program. We're really familiar with, you know, Gonzaga. They're a household name, but we've really figured out why as we started breaking down the tape. They are tremendous, and this will be a big-time challenge for us.
Wes Miller, my guest. Wes, you're one step ahead of me. I was going to say that you've said that you're the kind of guy that when you're not sleeping, you're watching basketball. And Gonzaga, of course, has been on TV quite a bit this year, and especially late at night. So you've seen a little of them already. You've been breaking down tape. What concerns you the most about facing them?
You know, just how consistent they are. You know, they have great players. You know, obviously, they're just so well coached and so well organized, but on both ends of the ball, and I mean, like, we're trying to find weaknesses, we can't really find any. They're just so consistent on both sides of the ball. I think they're maybe I'm wrong here, but I think I read something that they're maybe the only team in the country that's in the top 20 in the nation in both offensive and defensive efficiency. And I think that just kind of shows you they're just a really, really solid basketball team that's well coached and has great players. So we'd like to find some chinks in their armor, but it's been tough to find any yet.
UNCG headed back to the NCAA tournament. Head coach Wes Miller joining us. You know, at the same time, as good as they are, Wes, you've got one of the best defensive teams in the country in terms of scoring defense and defending against the three. So how would you describe your team's approach on the defensive end?
Yeah, we've tried to build an identity around that end of the floor for some time now. This team's done the best job of any team I've had of really buying into that on a day-to-day basis. We're still not quite as consistent as I'd like us to be, but that's been what we've hung our hat on. And we went to our conference tournament, and the SoCon was great this year. We were fortunate to win three games in 3 days, and we didn't actually play very well offensively. You know, the ball wasn't going in. We weren't in a great rhythm. But I thought it was a little poetic that we were still able to come out and win it because we were so good defensively throughout the tournament. That's something we're going to have to do on Thursday when we play Gonzaga. You know, again, we realize that we'll be underdogs, but we've been a team that's going to kind of hung our hat on that end of the floor all year. We're going to come out swinging on both ends, but hopefully our pressure can bother them a little bit because it has been able to bother people this year. We've been successful.
You know, Wes, the thing is, and when you have not been there before, the whole thing can be so overwhelming for a young player. And you've been through the tournament experience as a player, which I'll get into in a moment, but you know how special it is. So how do you go about getting the right balance and making sure that your guys enjoy every single moment, because that's as good as it gets. But at the same time, you want to make sure they put themselves in the best position to make the experience last more than just one game, if possible.
Well, we've been saying just that to them. Let's enjoy every moment of this. This is a lifetime experience. And, you know, I was fortunate to play in the tournament, you know, over a decade ago. And I remember that stuff like it was yesterday. And I really value those memories. I want our guys to have those same memories down the road in their lives. And I want them to enjoy this. But we've really tried to get them to continue to be who we've been to this point every day on the practice court. And that's been a team that's really tried to come in and just improve one day at a time. I know it sounds cliche, but that's something that it's a big banner on our wall, one at a time. We've tried to stay focused and stay really tightly focused to the task at hand, or between the lines, but also let them enjoy it. That's a tightrope to walk. We're trying to do it the best we can. But as you mentioned, this is the first time, you know, our players are going through this, and the first time our staff's going through this as coaches.
UNCG head coach Wes Miller joining us. But again, you've been there before. You know, you were the youngest head coach in Division I when you were hired. You're still really young, but how different are you now as a coach than when you first took over?
Well, a lot. I tell people we struggled in the early years here. And, you know, I think like anything, I thought I knew what I was doing. I know now that I didn't. I think the only difference between now and then is I still don't know what I'm doing, but at least I'm a little bit more aware of it, you know.
Right.
Because it's just coaching's like anything. It's a constant learning process and a constant growing process. And I thought it was easy when I first got going. I got humbled pretty easily. But, no, we've evolved a ton as a staff and as a program in every facet, how we recruit, you know, how our style of play, the things that we value. And so that's been a constant development process here, and I hope that never changes.
I think that's a great answer, Wes. I still don't know what I'm doing, but I'm more aware of it, and I understand exactly where you're going with that. Now, you played your college ball at North Carolina, but the journey there is the stuff of legends because you grew up watching the Tar Heels on Raycom, and then you played high school ball at New Hampton, but you ended up going to James Madison as a freshman, and then after that first season, you and your father met with Roy Williams. What do you remember about that conversation?
One thing really specifically, because I was unsure whether, you know, I was a scholarship player my freshman year at JMU, and I was a little uneasy about transferring to North Carolina because I was going to be a walk-on, and I knew it would be very difficult to play because, I couldn't play a lick. I mean, I thought I could at the time, but I couldn't play a lick. And the one thing that kind of got me over the hump was Coach Williams asked me what I wanted to do when I was done playing. I knew I wanted to coach since I was a baby, and he convinced me that it would be the best thing for me beyond college to get into coaching and prepare me for coaching to be a player at North Carolina. And that was the single reason, you know, that I got over the hump and made the decision to go there. And boy, was he right, because that decision's impacted me not just in basketball and in coaching, but in life. And he's been an unbelievable mentor among a number of other Carolina guys that have kind of wrapped their arms around me.
Yeah, it's a really interesting story, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, you could play a lick. You probably could have played a big role at JMU, but I understand now when you tell that story why you would give up that opportunity for another one. In fact, you were part of the 2005 National Championship team at North Carolina. You were a captain on the 07 team that won the ACC title. So when you look back on your time at Chapel Hill, what does stick out the most?
You know, great relationships and great friendships first. You know, I was fortunate to be, like you just mentioned, I was on some unbelievable teams and around some great players. And I had one of those storybook college experiences because, like I said, I went there as a walk-on. And then my junior year, I look up and I'm starting and kind of pinching yourself because, as you mentioned, I grew up in the state of North Carolina. You know, I idolized ACC basketball and college basketball. And, you know, all of a sudden I'm out there playing in it. So, no, I had an unbelievable experience there, Jim. But, you know, looking back on it, what I value most is my friendships with the coaches that were there, my teammates, the former players and people that I've gotten to know, you know, as being part of that program. People talk about the Carolina family. It really is real. It really is a special thing.
We're talking to Wes Miller. So, Wes, what were your biggest takeaways from being with Roy Williams in terms of being a head coach and how you run your program now?
Well, I think, you know, the foundation of kind of who I am as a coach, a lot of that is derived from, you know, things I gained and learned from coach. But, you know, from a style of play perspective, and I mean that just in terms of our approach for work ethic and the type of people we want in our program and, you know, the way we structure a practice, you know, that stuff's very similar, or if not just straight hijacked from coach's approach. But, you know, our style of play's really evolved and we don't play quite like they do anymore. And when we first started out, we did. I think we just kind of had to figure out who we are and, you know, who UNCG basketball is. And we've had a lot more success as we've kind of gotten away from that.
UNCG going up against Gonzaga on Thursday. They're going to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2001. Their head coach, the SoCon Coach of the Year, for the second time this season, Wes Miller. Wes, great to have you on the show. I know it's an amazing opportunity for you, your staff, your program. I'll be looking forward to seeing that on Thursday. Thank you very much, and good luck to you, Wes.
Hey, we're thrilled. Thanks for having me. This is neat for me because I grew up watching you and stuff, like listening to you and watching you. So thanks for making me feel good and being on the show today.
Hey, Wes, it was great to have you on. You nailed it. You crushed it. I was looking forward to it, and you definitely did a great job, Wes. Thanks so much, and I appreciate you saying that. Wes Miller, as I mentioned, he was the youngest D1 coach when he got hired. He's been there 7 years, still a real young guy. Like you said, I was in the tournament a little over a decade ago, or over a decade ago. That's a young head coach. He's only 35. All right, so UNC Greensboro, they get their shot, but they've got to go up against Gonzaga. And Gonzaga does not have that same look that they've had in years past, but they're dangerous. Don't get that twisted either. Don't fool yourself. They are dangerous. They're always dangerous. I'm saying they're dangerous this year. But in Wes Miller, you've got a guy who came through North Carolina, won a national championship, been in the tournament. He's been there before. And that's always the biggest challenge. How do you get your guys to appreciate what's about to happen when there's nothing like that that's ever happened to them? I mean, until you go through it, it's almost impossible. And we had two head coaches who had never been on the program before that had their programs in that spot for the first time in a long time. Scott Nagy from Wright State, Wes Miller from UNC Greensboro. And now your phone lines are open. We have done all the interviews that we are scheduled to do on this Monday. Wide open the rest of the way. And I still want to finish my thought on the Browns. I mentioned Tiger Woods, not back. Although I'm impressed with what I saw, I'm not going to say Tiger Woods is back. I will say the Cleveland Browns are back. And I do want to finish that thought. But, I mean, how weird. We're talking North Carolina. So why don't we take a telephone call from North Carolina? Tommy in North Carolina. It's good to have you, Tommy. What's up?
Hey, Jim. How you doing, man?
Good, good. You?
Good, good. That was a great interview with Wes Killer. Good luck against Ron Zaga. Anyway, I'm looking to rip a Goldman ticket, so thanks for the vein. I'm going to take your advice. The captain.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
I'm going to try and recap that as quickly as possible. What did he just say? Thanks for the interview with Wes Killer. I'm going to rip my Goldman ticket. And there was some vein reference in there, too. As I said, if I had a take on if I did it, don't you think you would have heard it by now in the first 2 hours of the program? Don't you think? That guy just called, and yeah, he hooked me. He hooked me with that North Carolina. Oh, I know. I'll just tell Rome I'm from North Carolina. That's on topic. He'll take that. That's pretty smart. I hate to give up any secrets, but it's pretty smart, right? If I'm talking about a coach from a state or a topic that relates to an area, a local area, it would stand to reason that if you were to call from that area, I might want to continue that conversation. Like the guy hooked me, or Hawk, or both of us. Because he called to, quote, rip his Goldman ticket.
Ron
Zaga. Gold ticket. Gold ticket.
Wes Killer.
Golden ticket. I should say, not a Goldman ticket, a golden ticket.
Goldman tickets.
Wes Killer instead of Wes Miller. Ron Zaga instead of Gonzaga.
Ron Zaga.
Ron Zaga. The Rons. Ron Zaga.
Goldman Gonzaga.
Goldman. Ron Zaga. Idiotic.
Wes
imbecilic.
Killer.
Wes Killer.
Ron Zaga.
Well, I'm really disappointed that that hour came to an end. When we come back, I will finish my thought on the Browns. They're back. I can't believe a team that could not make a trade suddenly executed three in a matter of hours. I want to talk about Richard Sherman and his decision to sign with Frisco. Remember, he represents himself. He does not have an agent. And him pointing out that, you know, I didn't let them go. They let me go. Stop lighting my gamer on fire. Philly, I see you working. Hour number three, straight ahead.